few years earlier won passage of two monumental civil rights laws, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965, and it created a deep and bitter divide between black and white. The Newark and Detroit riots came at a difficult time in the Johnson presidency. LBJ had dominated Washington during his first years in office. In 1964, after winning election in a massive landslide, he had pushed Congress to pass an ambitious set of social programs as part of his Great Society agenda. Now, however, he found himself trapped, bogged down in a costly and increasingly unpopular war in Vietnam that threatened to tear apart the Democratic Party. Liberals who had cheered his Great Society legislation now split into rival factions of hawks and doves over the war. While Cold War liberals pushed Johnson to wage a more aggressive war, a small but vocal group of critics attacked LBJ from the left, charging that the war squandered resources that should be spent at home. At the same time, a generation gap eroded support of his administration, as many young people, especially those attending elite private colleges and large state universities, vigorously protested the war and rejected Johnson's establishment liberalism. While fighting off challenges from the left, LBJ was also facing a potent backlash from Republicans and many conservatives who opposed the expansion of federal power under his administration. Most of all, the right tapped into white suburbanites' growing fear of racial unrest. For many white Americans, urban riots appeared to be part of a crime epidemic that swept the nation in the 1960s. Their fears were justified. Property crime, burglary, larceny, and auto theft soared 73% between 1960 and 1967. The rate of violent crime, murder, robbery, rape, and aggravated assault doubled. Between 1965 and 1969, the crime rate in America increased by double digits every year. Despite the attention focused on cities, the crime rate grew fastest in rural areas and small towns. A re-energized Republican Party pounced on the divided Democrats. After being declared dead following Barry Goldwater's humiliating defeat in the 1964 presidential election, Republicans clawed back to relevance by attacking their opponents as soft on crime while winning over many moderates with appeals for law and order. The GOP made major gains in the 1966 midterm elections, narrowing Democrats' control over Congress and limiting LBJ's policy options. The following year, when Johnson asked Congress for a tax increase to fund his Great Society programs, conservative Democrats and Republicans insisted that the administration reduce expenses before it would consider such a measure. Then came the long, hot summer of 1967, when riots ripped through more than 100 cities. Nearly every week came new violent images of angry confrontations between police and protesters, along with widespread looting and arson that culminated with bloody confrontations in Newark and Detroit. By the end of July, with dozens of dead and whole city blocks burned to the ground, LBJ understood that he needed to assert presidential power and reassure the nation. But what could he do? Creating a presidential commission seemed like the ideal option. It allowed him to demonstrate leadership without committing his administration to a specific course of action. He planned to kick the issue of urban violence down the road in hopes that by the time his commission issued its report, the crisis would have already passed. It was a strategy many post-war American presidents used to handle vexing political issues. Between 1945 and 1955, there was an average of 1.5 presidential commissions appointed every year. Johnson would appoint 20 such commissions during his tenure as president. As the burdens on the presidency increased in post-war America, commissions became a convenient way for presidents to fill the gap between what they could deliver and what was expected of them. The popularity of presidential commissions also reflected the post-war fascination with experts and the belief that social scientists could offer objective solutions to complicated